would you look at that? It is 9:05 p.m. on April 19th, 2011. Heading home from work. And I am pooped. Had a little bit of a late day, as you can tell. Probably, I think, my new record. I believe 9 o'clock might be the latest I've been working. Which means, of course, I'll be coming in late tomorrow. I actually worked 12 and a half hours today. Worked over 8 yesterday, so I'm over 20 for the week. I'm ready for the weekend already. Anyway, it was a long day to work today, but I can go home and chill out a little bit. It is Tuesday. Pretty nice little day today. It was a really nice weekend, actually. I don't know if I mentioned, but my girlfriend and I took my parents out on a little yacht trip, a little sailboat slash yacht. More of a sailboat, basically seats about 6 people. And we had a good old time. We went around, actually, downtown Portland. They did a city lights tour, what they call it. And it was 7:30, I believe, to 9 o'clock. It's actually pretty nice because we were going to surprise them. We didn't tell them what we were doing. We just told them to leave the evening open. So went and picked them up. Went actually to their house on Sunday about 3 o'clock or so. Stayed there, chit-chatted with them a little bit. Took them downtown for dinner. Surprised them there. They didn't even know what was going on. So we went to the Rock Bottom Brewery, which is a place that actually my parents took Kathy and I on the first date that they met her. We actually met my parents at church and then went to Rock Bottom afterwards after we went to Saturday Market, I believe it was. But anyway, took them to dinner, took them out to the boat ride, went back to their house, and then we pretty much went home and crashed because we were pretty tired ourselves after that. But it was pretty nice surprising them. And I'm actually thinking of doing something similar to that for my brother, because him and his wife have 3 kids, and they're not able to get out of the house very much, so it'd be nice to surprise them by, staying home with the kids while they go out to dinner or something. So, anyway, just heading home right now. Was listening to Free Talk Live. Pretty much heard the whole broadcast today, which I haven't actually heard the whole thing in a long time, because usually something comes up and I get sidetracked or whatever. Can get a little boring sometimes. I mean, they do talk about local things in New Hampshire, and between it being either boring or uninteresting slash a little jealous because I wish I was there. But I actually listened to the whole podcast today, and they talked about religion for a good chunk of it, and it's a little ironic because I happen to be listening to Stephon Molyneux's podcast. This is actually one from about 5 years ago. I downloaded his podcast feed onto a program that I got, and was listening to that today, and just happened to come across one that was on religion in general. Basically talked about Sharia law, and he has suggested creating what they call DROs, dispute resolution organizations, which basically are kind of like mediators, you know, in a very broad sense, to resolve most of the problems in society. And we'll get into DROs right now, but just mentioned it because he mentioned Sharia law and how that would work with DROs, and so he kind of went into that. And he did bring up a good point. I think he kind of sidetracked from the topic, but at the same time he brought up a good point, which is there's a lot of questions of how something's going to work in a free society. And what people don't stop to think of is that in a free society, the thing that they're asking about won't exist. Or at least the way that we know of it today won't exist. So in other words, for an example, public schooling that we have right now is funded by the government. And if the government ceased to exist, it's not that people would stop learning, it's just that it would shift. If the government wasn't there, of course, most kids would go online and go to libraries, or, you know, of course, libraries and government. So something similar to a library, they would go to, you know, either have internet at home or, you know, they would find ways to basically link with other people and learn things. It's not that you may not have as much of a structure of education that you would with public schooling, of course, but you would still have, it's not to say that people would stop learning. So you don't really have to ask how would you, you know, provide public school books to children if the government didn't exist, because public school books, of course, wouldn't exist. It's the idea that if government disappeared, then people would learn on their own. People would have their own ways to figure out. People would go online. You know, there'd be stuff on television, perhaps. And that's something that a lot of people don't think about, is that if government school didn't exist, you could have online classes for kids. You could have telephone classes. In other words, you call in, you just listen to your lecturer. Ironically, it's kind of the same stuff that, Free Talk Live broadcasts are. You know, you have satellite, you have satellite radio in this case, not television. But you'd have radio waves, satellite radio, telephone, internet, and actually webcam. Those five things all are used by Free Talk Live in order to get their message out. And of course, you could add to that public television if you want. Broadcast video on the airwaves. So without the government, you could still have all those options. It would just be, you know, it would be very different than how education is today. But anyway, kind of a weird example, I know, and not really my point of bringing it up. The main reason I wanted to bring up was religion in general, and that was something that they talked about on the show today. And people would call in, of course, and they would say their beliefs, or, you know, hey, I believe in God, I believe this, I believe that. And the Free Talk Live host is actually him and a different co-host today. It wasn't Mark. It was actually Meg today instead of Mark. But Ian and Meg were talking about religion. People were calling in talking about it. And the nice thing about the show is it really is free. People can call in. You're free to talk about whatever you want. People call in and bring up religion, and then people can change topics, whatever. They just happened to talk about religion quite a bit because it kept coming up and people were talking about it. But one thing that Ian doesn't like is this idea that if there is a God, this fatherly God that, you know, a lot of us are told about growing up, that if somebody comes to you and explains to you how God works and about Jesus and all that, and you say, no, I don't believe, and many Christians, and perhaps even the Bible might say this as well, but basically they'd say, well, you're going to hell because you specifically reject the Word of God. You specifically reject, you know, Jesus as your Savior, that kind of thing. And Ian said, well, what about, you know, people that have never met, people in Africa, for instance, that have never seen a missionary, never heard of God or, you know, Jesus Christ or any of those things, would they go to hell? Some people would say yes, and, you know, the people that actually call them would say, no, they're not going to go to hell because, you know, they didn't have the choice. They didn't have the opportunity to learn about them, so you can't really condemn them for that. And then Ian says, well, what about those who you know, are presented with Jesus, but they say, you know, that just doesn't jive with me, I don't believe it, would they automatically go to hell? And they'd say yes. And he didn't like that idea because he thought, you know, hey, if somebody presents it to you in the wrong way, for instance, somebody's, you know, literally thumping you over the head with a Bible, telling you you have to believe you're going to hell, or there's a lot of scare tactics involved, of course, with religion. I mean, whether you're religious or not, you have to admit that there are scare tactics involved. There is fear. There is a lot of this, especially, of course, in the old days. I mean, maybe a lot better today, but back in the day, you know, it used to be, you know, you persecuted if you believed in Jesus, persecuted if you didn't, you know, all these different things. But, and by persecuted, I mean, killed. Well, you know, the most extreme persecution. But the point is, he didn't like this idea that why would I be... He didn't really like the idea of being punished for an eternity, too. That really makes you wonder. I mean, you think about it. Okay, there's some people that did some horrible things on Earth, but what really is the extent of punishment, you know? If, for instance, if I steal your car and I crash it, there's only a certain amount of punishment that's acceptable. You know, murdering me would probably not be an acceptable form of punishment. If I murdered somebody, you know, yeah, you might kill me back. That might be your form of punishment. But what about eternity? What if, you know, the example of, you know, if you really can't die, or if you're, you know, in this case, if you're dead, your soul lives forever, it'd be the equivalent of being human and never being able to die. Well, if somebody kept killing you over and over and over again, that would be torture. You know, I mean, that goes beyond just, you know, having a bad day. That is just straight up torture. So he really didn't like this idea of torture, you know, and it kind of brings up a point because, you know, you think about it. You think of when somebody does something wrong to you, you say, oh, man, I, you know, especially when you hear about horrible things like, you know, horrible Ponzi schemes where people are, you know, built out of billions of dollars and, you know, the person seems to get away with it, or, you know, any sort of CEO corruption, that sort of thing. You know, you always hear about those things and you always think, man, I really hope that if I, you know, if he's not going to get justice here on Earth, I really hope that he's really going to get his later, you know. But then the question is, do you really believe that they deserve an eternity of punishment? And I'll leave you on that thought, because it really, you know, you think about punishment, you think about, especially in the realm of forgiveness, that God has a huge heart and he forgives. But then when you think about the idea of punishing for an eternity, it kind of goes against the forgiveness. You know what I mean? It kind of goes against this idea that God could forgive you, that you could do something so heinous that he would banish you to hell for eternity. I remember kind of, you know, growing up and through the church and everything, you know, I remember hearing that, oh, well, you know, those who end up in hell or, you know, I heard somebody say this once, that those who end up in hell are those who kind of, you know, they wouldn't be happy with God, or, you know, they wouldn't be happy with God's love, or maybe God's love would be too much for them. In other words, they have a hateful heart or whatever. But, you know, I think ultimately inside of all of us, you know, and it's weird because, I mean, you know, everybody who is seen as evil still has some sort of good side to them as well. You know, I mean, I'm sure even Hitler had friends and, you know, people that, you know, not just, you know, friends because they didn't want to die, but, I mean, friends that may not have known or at least believed how, especially in the earlier years, you know, before you knew how bad he got, they might have, you know, just hung out with him, had beers, you know, heard Hitler telling them jokes and stuff like that. And, you know, you think about it and you're like, well, he's not pure evil. He's not like literally the devil on earth where he's just floating around on fire and he's just killing people. It's like, well, there's two sides of every coin, you know. He's an evil person that kills people, but at the same time, he has a wife, and I don't know if he had kids or not, but, you know, a lot of these dictators, it's possible you can have a wife and kids, you can have a loving family, you can all have all this stuff and have close friends, and at the same time, you're murdering people, you know. I mean, so it's this really weird concept that, you know, even murderers, even rapists, even the worst vile people, everybody has a good side, you know? So it's like, at the same time, you know, when you're talking about an eternity, when you're talking about banishing somebody to hell forever, you have to think in the back of your mind, well, then, you know, this guy's still half good, too, you know? I mean, he might still donate to charities, he might still, you know, feed orphans or whatever, you know? Well, then what do, you know? But like he said, though, this idea, though, that an eternity of punishment, he said he wouldn't wish that on anybody. And you really think about it, what does it take for somebody, what does somebody have to do to you that for an eternity you want to see them tortured? You know, it's not like, oh, 1,000 years goes by, okay, he's learned his lesson. Killed 1,000,000 people, 1,000,000 years goes by, you learned your lesson, whatever. No, an eternity, it just continues to happen over and over and over again. Just think about that one.